In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. First, I want to start by saying Happy Father's Day to all the fathers who are here, or those who are not here for any reason. Actually, today is a very special Father's Day to me, personally. Or let me say, it's the very first time for me to celebrate Father's Day. Not as a father, because I have celebrated that as a father before, but this is the very first time for me to celebrate it as a son. Because we never knew Father's Day in Egypt, that's one thing. And today, as you may know, that there is a visitor who is my spiritual father, who is visiting from Egypt. He prayed with me the first liturgy, and he's going to come and give the Arabic sermon in the end, Abuna Eliya. And It's a nice feeling, you know, to celebrate Father's Day as a son, you know, having done that before. And I always said that, not because today is Father's Day, but I always said that I learned more from my spiritual father than my biological father. Actually, my biological father, he wasn't close to church until 2 days before he passed away. And that actually, maybe these 2 years were the closest. And this is where we learned things from him. During childhood, he was always abroad, working abroad, and we didn't see him much. And adolescence, he was sick, so we tried to avoid, you know, bothering him. So, and, you know, when he really came close to Christ, it was 2 years before he passed away when I was in first year of college. So I didn't get to learn very much from my biological father, but I learned a lot from my spiritual father, or my spiritual fathers in general, and most of them, of course, Abuna Eliya, who's here, who's visiting. And I understood the meaning of fatherhood or spiritual fatherhood early on, from the early years. And I understood how spiritual fatherhood may be sometimes stronger in relationship than the biological fatherhood. And it's amazing feeling. Actually, St. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians. He said, "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." St. Paul didn't have biological children, but he had so many spiritual children. And he said that you may have 10,000 instructors. You could have a lot of teachers. You may have hundreds of teachers in your life, but you don't have many fathers. Maybe few. And he said, "I have begotten you in Christ," and that's a close relationship. That's something very special. And also he said something really nice. It's also cute what he said. He said, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." He said, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth." Labor and birth is like he's giving birth to them. And the labor and the heavy work of the labor and the heavy pain of labor until they are born, but not born in life, but born in Christ. Born in Christ. So that's what this St. Paul said. "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." So the meaning of spiritual fatherhood is raising someone or bringing someone in Christ, bringing someone closer to Christ. Who is the first father in the world, in the universe? God. And he addressed himself as a father. Now listen to this. The spiritual fatherhood of God the Father. You know, God is not a male or female. So if God is a father and I want to become like God, whether I'm a male or female, then I have to become a spiritual father, regardless. And that's actually not something new, it's something old. St. Paul said, be men in faith. You know, how about women? No, it's that expression. So it's, I want to call it fatherhood, but it's basically parenthood. It's bringing someone closer to the bosom of Christ. Is representing the fatherhood of God to people, regardless who these people are and what they are doing. Representing the fatherhood, the love of God the Father to people, and being an image of the Lord to people, representing the fatherhood of God, as I told you. I remember when my Sunday school teacher came, when this is the first time I took church serious, was second year of high school, or maybe 10th grade, something like this. And the Sunday school servant came to my parents, and he was sitting and talking, and he said, I love this fellow very much. He's very special. And they said, why? He said, he has a sense of fatherhood. I was like 16 or 17. I said, this man is kidding. What is this? He has a sense of fatherhood. But it is a gift from God, is helping others and bringing others closer to the bosom of God and representing the great fatherhood of God to people. There is a difference between a father and a teacher. Sometimes when the father acts as a teacher, he fails. And a teacher, not all the teachers can be fathers. Very few teachers can be fathers. It's completely two different jobs. But anyways, we're talking about the spiritual fatherhood or parenthood, whatever you want to call it. It's for everyone. Bringing people to God, bringing them closer to God. When you have spiritual children, when you bring some people to Christ, when you labor in pain to bring people to Christ, these people are very close to you. These people become your fruits on earth. Your fruits. You remember when God said that we have to be fruitful? What is the fruitful? Remember the first commandment? When God told Adam to be fruitful, he said, God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. Of course, he told them to bring children, you know, and the number of children, number of people would increase, would grow, okay? That's the fruitfulness in the Old Testament. How about the fruitfulness in the New Testament? The blessing of the New Testament of having children to carry the name, what the blessing in the New Testament is to bring people to Christ, to have children in Christ. Regardless, you're a man or a woman, you're old or young, even if you're a kid, you still can offer this, and you can offer this love and bring people. And to tell you the truth, a lot of times we ask, because Jesus asked us that he will ask for the fruits. What kind of fruits we can bring? Jesus said the fruits of the tree is the same. Apple tree brings apples, okay? And if you want to bring fruits, the only fruit you can bring is multiplying of who you are. Or giving Christ that is in you to other people. Making more copies of that Christ, of God who is in you. And I want to ask you today about your spiritual children, regardless who you are. It's not for the Sunday school teachers. It's for everyone. These are the fruits, your spiritual children that you bring to God. Everyone must be a spiritual father or guide or parent, whatever you want to call it. Like our Heavenly Father. He's the Father of all. He's the accepting. He is the one who brings us life and brings us like all the blessings that we have in life. He's the source of our existence and our blessing. And it's dearly when we call Him Father. I want to tell you some qualities that fathers must have. Talking about spiritual fathers, whether men or women, men or women, or kids or anyone. And it's all about relationship. It's not about teaching. It's not about how much knowledge you have. It's not about how much you know of the Bible. But it has to do with relationships. The greatest commandment is love God and love people. It's all about relationships. So I'm going to introduce something. It's called the 6 A's of relational connection. 6 things that everyone starts with an A, so we can memorize. It's easy to remember. And it connects, makes relationships easier. Before you become a father or a guide, you must follow this. You must have these qualities. Even if you don't have it, you can adopt these. You can try to develop these habits and these characters in yourself. And I tell you, these 6 things that we're going to say is very important for any relationship. A husband and wife, father and son, or any kind of relationships. They're very important. Very basic, but we sometimes forget them. And they're all biblical. First A is for affirmation. And we refer to the Bible verse that's very famous in Romans 5:12-15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Validating how people feel, affirming, understanding what people go through. A lot of times we underestimate the joy of people or the sadness of people. A lot of times we don't, it doesn't matter how I believe in it. A lot of times I see things from my perspective. Let me give you this example. A little kid breaks a very silly toy from the dollar store or just something that he invented. He breaks it and he cries his heart out. Usually what do we do is, there is no reason for this cry. This is something, it's nothing. What are you crying for? No. If it's important for him, it's important for me. That's not how God looks at us. Because everything we cry for in this world is silly in God's eyes. And it's nonsense in God's eyes. But the Bible says that in all their affliction, he is afflicted with them. It's not because when they're sad for big things, God is there. And when they're not, when they are crying for something silly, God is not there. Absolutely not. We are not there, but God is there. If you want to connect with people, you have to be sensitive and give them the sense of authenticity, who you are, and regardless who these people are, whatever they feel is validating, they have the right to be happy or to be sad or to complain about something or to feel angry. A lot of times we don't want people to feel angry. That's not affirmation. When someone doesn't feel for me what I go through, it disconnects both of us right away. When someone doesn't feel what I go through, it disconnects me from that person. So affirmation is very important. That makes people feel understood, and they are human being, and whatever they feel is validated. It's very important. Number 2 is another hard one. It's called acceptance. And in Romans also it was said, therefore accept one another just as Christ also accepted us. What did it take for Christ to accept us? Or to accept any human being? What does it take? What does it take for Christ to accept people? What are the conditions of Christ accepting people? What are the conditions? Nothing. Nothing. He said that in John 6. If anyone comes to me, I will by no means cast him out. If anyone comes to me, I will by no means cast him out. The acceptance for anyone who comes to me, my door is open for everyone at any time, regardless what he is doing, what she is doing. If she's a Samaritan woman, or if he's Judas, or whatever, my door is open for everyone. I may disagree with a lot of people and with the way they live, but I have acceptance for them. A lot of people actually suffered from parents and from people who couldn't accept them for who they are. If they don't change, if you don't do that, then we don't know each other, and you're not my son or you're not my daughter, which is not good at all. I will love them no matter what. I will accept them no matter what. Doesn't mean that I will agree with everything they will do. Acceptance has nothing to do with beliefs and agreements and all of this. Jesus accepts anyone who comes to him. He may disagree with so many other things. That's a completely different thing. It gives the sense of security. A lot of people ask me in confession, well, if I choose to do the wrong or to do what you don't like, will you abandon me as a spiritual father? Say, absolutely not. I will continue to support you. You know why? Because you will need more support when you do this choice. You will be in a big trouble and you will need me more, and I will be with you. If you don't listen to me and if you do what you want to do, it's okay. I'm going to support you still, because you will need even more support, because your life will be harder. But I will be there for you. It's a great sense of security. That's what God gives us. I know that He is always there to accept me, no matter what. A lot of people hurt by rejection. God does not reject. God never rejected anyone and will never reject anyone. If you want to represent the fatherhood of God to other people, you must represent the acceptance regardless. That gives the sense of security to people. Embracing people for who they are rather than for what they do. Making themselves to be vulnerable and transparent and open in so many ways. So what was the first one? Affirmation. What the second? Acceptance. Okay, and the third is appreciation. Okay, the acceptance is whatever you do, it will never make me reject you or accept you, because you will be accepted regardless. The appreciation is about what you do. Is I appreciate what you do. What you do is very important. Of course, you are accepted for who you are, but a lot of times you have a lot of accomplishment. You have great things. You do wonderful things. I will accept you. I will appreciate you for that. Even God the Father said that about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That's an appreciation for the Son. It gives the sense of significance to others. Samaritan woman, everything in her life was bad. One time she said, "I have no husband." Wasn't the full truth, wasn't any word of appreciation, and Jesus said, "Well done, well said that you have no husband. Wonderful. I appreciate your honesty. You're an honest person." And that somehow made her closer and closer to him. And she is ready to listen to him. Appreciation makes people feel what they do is very important to us. What we do is very important to our Heavenly Father. And what people do should be important to us, that we value their accomplishment and make them feel that it makes a difference. So, what was number one? Affirmation, acceptance, appreciation, and then affection. That's my favorite one. If you got a hug from me before, you know that this is something real. Beloved, let's love one another, for God is of love, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Affection, it gives more communication than what words can express. Affection could be by words or by a touch. Makes people feel that they are really valuable and they are lovable. I could feel I'm important. I could feel I have a lot of accomplishment. But one thing people might not know and might need understanding and affirmation about is, am I lovable or not? Can people love me for who I am or not? And actually, a lot of times we become affectionate with those who are affectionate. But those who need affection most gives it least. The people who need affection are those who have what they call it, I don't want to use any bad terms, but these people who are cold, let's put it this way, the people who are cold, these people need the affection most. And a lot of times they don't show that they appreciate it or they don't like it. But these people who need the affection. If you are born in a household where you didn't get affection, it doesn't mean you cannot do it. You can do it. You can practice it. You must do it, as a matter of fact. The Gospel of St. Mark showed the Lord Jesus Christ in so many ways that he hugged the little children, that he touched the sick people, that he was there for, he touched everyone who came to him. Because people needed that to feel God's love and the sense of lovability, as I said. Okay? And all these things are wonderful and good, but they are nothing if this one is not there, which is availability. And this is where I am worst, unfortunately, and trying to work on that. But it's not by my hand. It's not because I don't want to be available and I want to have fun on my own. It's difficult. But this is so important, as difficult as it is. Nobody has time, and everybody is busy with his own. But those who want to reach out, those who want to connect, must be available. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Even Jesus had time for the little kids. I can never appreciate or affirm or accept or give any affection without I am being there and available and have the time for them. That gives people the sense of important. So many people said before, and it really hurts my heart when I hear from someone, "I know that I'm not as important as other people because you don't have time for me." And it really breaks my heart, but it is true. If I'm not available, if I'm not being there, then it doesn't matter what I have. It doesn't matter what I feel. Availability and spending time and giving them the sense of importance is very important. It means that I love you and I care about you and I'm here for you. The number six and last one is the accountability, or let me call it the tough love. Love is not all about affection and affirmation and good words and things like this. No. Love means that one time I have to tell my son or my daughter, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Give me an account. What you're doing is I don't like what's going on. Tell me what you're doing. And we know that God, one day, each of us shall give account of himself to God. One day we'll stand before God, and actually every single day, there is the guardian angel who asks us, what are you doing with your life? Some people are good with this and not good with the previous ones. But it's very important to combine the love and the toughness at the same time. It's called the tough love or the accountability. Putting love in boundaries and asking people, it gives people the sense of responsibility. Make them responsible. Without the accountability, kids can be spoiled. And God does not spoil. God doesn't know how to spoil. Between friends, accountability must be there. Between spiritual father and children, accountability must be there. Between parents and their children, parents must come at a certain point to the children and tell them, what are you doing with your life? That's an accountability. We all need to be accountable in order to grow in our responsibility. Love doesn't mean that I agree with the person and everything and anything. No. Love doesn't mean that I will change my values. No. I will set them as boundaries and rules, but rules with the relationship, not outside of the relationship. I heard it from so many kids before. They said, my father or my mother don't care. Why? Because they don't know where I'm going. They're not asking me. So what do you guys want? When they ask you, you don't like it? When they don't ask you, you don't like it? What's going on? No. When they ask, actually, it makes us feel like we're responsible and they care. And it's very important to report back what's going on. Everything, of course, has a limit, and everything could be done with wisdom or out of wisdom completely. But with wisdom must have accountability. So, in order to connect with anyone, whether to bring this person close to God or close to us, this is how God connects to us. Through the affirmation, the acceptance, appreciation, affection, availability, and accountability. And this is just, as I said, these are the basis of building any relationship. God is all about relationships. And if you don't have relationships in your life, what are you going to give account to God when you leave? God sent you here on earth to be a friend, to be a father, and to be a guide, and to be there for people, to take the hands of people. God is all about people and about relationships. If we're missing one of these, we can have them, we can develop these things. These, we're not born with any of those things, but we develop them. We develop them. And we must develop them if we care about other people, if we want to reach out to people, if we want to experience the greatness of bringing children in Christ, of giving birth to people in Christ, of experiencing being fruitful and having people who are in Christ and love Christ because we showed them God's love. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.